Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 5, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Here we go. It's time for an audio celebration of the game week that was around here at the home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Here's Woolchuck and Chiafalo, your MCs.
Thank you very much. 9-hour Cowboys game day. How glorious it is right here on 105.3 The Fan of the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. We got pregame, we got the game itself, and then we got postgame. And we got clips from all of the above today.
Yes, postgame making an appearance.
Oh, postgame's getting in there. Usually it's just absolutely professional, just an incredible Marconi Award-winning broadcast. But we had a guest appearance this week.
Good. Yeah, well, because the Cowboys fans had all day to get nice and liquored up.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
I think Christy used the word lubricated.
Lubricated. She says it was a bit of a sassy environment at AT&T Stadium in the pregame. And I felt that sass.
Man,
They were tying one on. It was an unbelievable amount of Packer fans. 100%. Doing the Lowe's pregame out there.
I didn't get it.
We actually.
Tying one on.
Tie.
Drunk.
It was a tie. They were hammered, and it was
well
a tie
played.
Game.
Well played.
Gosh, it's like
Dawson,
kissing your sister.
I don't expect anything from these two in front of me, but you,
come
Lucius,
on,
maybe,
we liked
you know,
it. We got it.
You got your fastball working. What can I say?
It's having to work this extra hour because of no baseball anymore.
Right, you know what?
Yeah, we're going five wide.
Yeah, I was going to try and be nice going into this one, but I think Tony Dungy was facts, and I think we need to have him on the pregame every single week to dunk on Broadus, Eric.
He brought heat for sure. Let's go ahead and get into the mix. Sounds good, boys.
We'll love it.
Now, for the first time, we know about the cheeseheads, right?
Of course.
Saw a freaking buttload of those.
A lot of overalls.
Saw a lot of overalls. And then
they're still doing the cheeseheads?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Which, I mean, hey, listen, like credit to them. I would, too.
Bandwagon fan people are.
If I was a Packers fan, I'd be having the cheesehead. And what did you say? You gave us a little cheesehead fun fact? Talk about it.
Yeah. What, the fact that it was a single-engine plane that went down, the guy was wearing his cheesehead, and the cheesehead saved his life.
Come on now.
Like, the plane went down, and it's a rubbery foam thing, and he went forward, and the cheesehead cushioned the blow.
I was saying, we need to do away with the Guardian caps and just throw cheeseheads on all these players and watch CTE just completely disappear.
You do have a lot of people with those Guardian caps on now.
Yeah.
Shout out to Romeo Doubs.
Yep.
Yeah, nothing like getting dunked on in the end zone by a guy wearing the biggest Guardian cap you've ever seen. No, but we saw the cheese heads, of course, but one lady had a cheese brassiere.
Okay.
It was literally like the foam cheese head, but it was like over top her clothes as a cheese brassiere.
Miss Wisconsin 1971.
Wow.
Did she look like cheese?
Yeah. If she's baggy winning cheese, if she's winning beauty
slightly
awards,
melted.
1971-ish.
Wow, 2 years after the last Cowboys tie.
If that's the case, she's aged poorly. Let's get to Tony Dungy, boys and girls, who brought us, had a question for him,
sure
and
did.
Then it brought out a little something in Tony Dungy that I didn't know he had in him.
Coach, you talked about, you know, that Stephen Jones kind of told us when they made the Micah Parsons trade that Flews can manufacture pressure. Well, you mentioned Coach, you can.
Okay.
I didn't expect.
I can tell you how Coach is. Manufacture pressure.
Yeah.
Derek Thomas,
Chris
Dolman, John Randall, Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis. That's how you manufacture pressure.
Don't forget Simeon Rice, too.
Warren Sapp.
How about that, dude? Just laughing brought us off the stage.
What a stupid question.
As brought us channeled his inner Stephen Jones.
Give me
for
all
a
the
moment.
Hall of Famers, baby, and I'll have a good defense.
Yeah. That's how you manufacture pressure with great players.
Come on.
He actually proved our point.
Yeah, it was the exact response that we were looking for.
Yeah.
Shout out to Tony Dungy, man. Hall of Fame human being.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
By the way, the Iron Man cowboy beer drinker helmet guy.
Yeah,
he swung by the broadcast position and let me hold it and mess around with it.
Okay, what do we know? Yeah. What's the scouting report
on
that?
So you just tap the left side of it. Okay, bang, that thing opens. Tap it again. That thing closes.
Did he make it himself?
No, we were actually on the air.
Okay.
So I didn't get a chance to really talk with him.
When has that ever stopped you from doing anything?
True, bro.
Seriously. I'm interviewing.
I don't really give a damn.
I'm talking
about
to Tony Dungy, my man, stand up. Dude, you're the Tolo man. You're my guy. I see you. Coach, I want to ask you. No, hey, yeah. Tolo, buddy. Love you. Love the people out there. You're my Tolo guy. Yeah, yeah. Oh, don't worry. I've got the headset on. We're taught broad. Don't worry. Yeah. Tolo, man. You're the guy.
Tony Dungy, what the hell's going on?
Love your look. Eric is literally, and I literally put my hand on my headset to like, okay, please don't let me hear this. My man, he's like, all right, we got these. Hey, Broadus is asking a question. It's okay. What were these quesadillas?
I hope I don't have to say one.
Yeah, we got a quesadilla. Here.
I'm going to crush that.
Have a pint of ice cream with it. It's great. Yeah.
They delivered us a Bluebell ice cream yesterday.
Oh, did they now?
That was pretty nice.
Man, I will say that.
He will talk in the middle of the broadcast like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just going. I mean, I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I hear it sometimes.
Sorry about that, bro.
Yeah, on the app. I listen. I Tolo.
Yeah, you do.
Just love it so much.
You're one of my favorite Tolos.
I love you too.
You should come
up
to the broadcast position so I can shout you out.
I should. I should come by and say hello.
He does. He will yell out random. People walk by and engage in conversation while on air.
It is pretty crazy. Just
well, don't worry. We
see your keys to the game. Yeah, hey. See you, man. See ya. Yeah.
All right, go bleep yourself. Bro. We'll joke. What's next?
All right. I hate it when you ask someone and they just refuse to not really answer your question. And, babe, were you guilty of this?
So you're going to start a franchise. Which of your positional units do you want most to be dominant? Your wide receivers, your linebackers, your not offense or defense. Which positional unit?
If I were starting a franchise.
Yeah, well, not including quarterback.
Yeah, and the first thing I do is I go to the bank and say, hey, I need to take out a really big loan here because I've got like $42 in my bank account, but I want to start an NFL franchise. But no, the game is still won at the line of scrimmage, right? It's won at the line of scrimmage and with playmakers on the outside. And right now, it looks like Green Bay has those playmakers in this game.
Okay, they completely failed to answer the question. I will hold his feet to the fire.
I just did.
No.
I just did. You didn't. I said I want my lines, offensive, defensive lines.
Which one?
Which is what Philadelphia has
done. We will answer that question when Dallas Cowboys football continues after this.
Beautiful. Absolutely well done. Just fantastic broadcasting from those two guys.
Which position group? The lines. I like it, babe. Yeah. It's all about the trench play. Even quarterbacks know that.
Man.
All right. From trench play to wide receivers that make Brad Sham channel something theatrical.
And on that touchdown reception, the Cowboys defense was saying, Romeo, Romeo,
where art thou? Yeah. Here's the doctor. And we know where you are. A light through yonder end zone breaks.
I mean, what?
Hello.
What type of musical theater background does Brad Sham have?
Well done.
Him and Christy Scales go to musicals all the time. Musicals, theatrical stuff.
He was telling me about some slam poetry stuff he used to do. Trying to dig up some of those old clips.
I could definitely
Bobby
see
will find those things. You put Bobby
That's true.
On.
Should just ask Bobby.
He's a sneaky man.
We can find it.
Yeah, he's a sneaky, sneaky man.
I was going to call him a sneaky B word, but I couldn't do
good,
that on the
good
radio.
Good job
right?
censoring yourself
you
there.
Could.
I'm getting better at it.
Offense was playing like a little bit of a B word first quarter and a half. In fact, my gosh, the Packers were really beating them in the total yardage, Brad.
And babe, I know you have a strong dislike for the statistic of time of possession. How do you feel about total yardage?
Oh, I feel better about that.
Okay, the Packers have 149 yards and the Cowboys have 26.
126, did you say? I'm sorry.
26.
Oh, 26. Just no
like
one in front
Preston
of it.
Preston Pearson's number. Deron Bland's number.
How do you spell first down? Preston Pearson, baby.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Preston Pearson, baby.
Everybody knows that. Third and Preston. Yeah, that was a bad start to the game.
Huh? Not good.
I mean, that first quarter, just throw that one away.
I mean, it was bad, but the most inspiring thing is they figured a way out of it.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I got to eat crow. I thought the only way they could have success was
running the ball, and at 13-zip, I'd completely give it up. I was in Cooper Rush fan mode of just like, oh, God.
Here we go again.
Tell me when this thing is going to be over. And it came to life.
It
so,
sure did.
You know, to me, that bodes incredibly well for what might be in store. Right now, you can look at the schedule, find the bad defense, and say, hell, might put a 40-burger on them. Why maybe the hell 50. Not?
Maybe even the good defenses. Thought the Packers were going to be pretty
good. Here's one uncomfortable secondary question stink. About the offensive success they had. Are Bass and Hoffman not that much worse than what Booker and BB have been doing? Because I couldn't tell a difference out there.
Well, I think that speaks to their play, but I definitely think BB and Booker better.
Yes.
Than those two.
Yeah, but, for sure better.
Not like eye popping off the screen. Holy no. S. Better.
I mean, and that's all you want from your backups right there.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is credit to Connor Riley, credit to Clayton Adams, who are guys that have found ways yep. throughout their careers to get it done, particularly in the run game, with maybe just average dudes on the offensive line.
I kind of feel like the longer you play with both, the more you're going to turn around and say, I don't know why I asked that question.
that's
I like backups for
I like that. Let's track it. All right, we were tracking.
No, you're
but
on.
But they played well. Yeah,
no, but Hoffman had a half dozen good games last year and then played like a bag of ass in a couple. You're right about
that. Yeah, that's the thing. I think like you get four games out of them and then you're kind of like, they start to get beat down a little bit and, you know, that does it. But for like right now to get you through this period, sure. I mean, that was a great effort by them two yesterday.
And Booker out of his boot today.
Yeah, Booker out of his boot. Yeah. Fast healer, Wolchuk, is that what we're dealing with there in old Booker? That was a scattered report. And he's a guy that's been...
Might be getting Wally pipped.
Highlighting... Oh, no, dude, he was pancaking, dude.
He was so good against Chicago.
Dawson?
Booker the pancake, man.
Dawson?
I'm just saying maybe Booker needs some time to develop before he's better than a jobber journeyman.
Booker, he's better right now.
Okay.
Dawson, I thought you made a good point.
I think these two don't like ball sacking.
They don't like these two don't like your opinions. I'd be a little worried about that.
You said that, not us.
Well, I mean, Wolchuk figures because he studied the draft for 2 years, he knows everything in the NFL, and I understand that, Ryan. That's why I ask you these questions.
Don't ask me because don't ask me.
You just watched the Bears game last week. He played really well.
Booker has had breakdowns that leave the offense vulnerable.
In pass protection? He can get better, but TJ Bass.
And he's slow, and if you ask him to get to the second level, whoever he's going after is going to make him look like a slow-footed big man on the perimeter trying to guard Allen Iverson.
Well, he moves better than Bass does. Bass is pretty heavy-footed.
But you're a Bass man, and you've said that.
As a very good backup player.
All right, Broadus gave us a great Zebra report on Friday, also in the pregame show.
Oh, he nailed it.
I love his Zebra reports.
And then, of course, everything was exactly how Broadus said it was going to be.
After the play was over, personal foul, unnecessary roughness, defense, number 41. It's a 15-yard penalty and an automatic first down.
We'll have to see that one again. But
cannot happen. That's an unforced error.
So it was necessary roughness, Brad, when he hit him the first time.
Yes.
Yeah. Unnecessary, whatever he did to him the second.
I mean, he made a great play to force him back inside. I'm looking. I don't see what the unnecessary roughness was.
Yeah, no.
I mean, he wrapped him up and dropped him. I mean, if you wrap your arm around a guy's neck and drop him hard on his back, is that not football anymore? That's now unnecessary roughness?
No, I personally, I don't think that's a good call.
I don't either. But it was a call.
Mm. It sure was. Ezra Rocky, though, you can see the signs.
Yeah.
He let the dog out. That's what happened right there. Sometimes the dog goes for a walk on his own. Sometimes he decides to latch on to a neighbor, you know, and that's just what you got. But I think there's some emotion to when a player is finally having his success and he's like, okay, this is the intensity and aggressiveness I need to play with. Mm-hmm. And you got to figure out how to rein that back in. But I loved everything I saw about Ezra Raku. You know, you don't know when that's going to happen with a young player. And sometimes, unfortunately, it never arrives. Like, we've been waiting for 2.5 years now for that to happen with Mozzie Smith. It never came. Came last night with Ezra Raku
in a big way.
Oh, it did. It
in
sure
prime
exploded
time.
all over the TV.
He was explosive. Man, field position. Goodness gracious. Shout out to Brandon Aubrey, by the way. He's finding a way to make it into that landing zone, make the opposition start at the 20. But something called feces field has now trickled into AT&T Stadium. Poop.
The Cowboys' field position in this second quarter has been poopy.
Man, it just got poopier. Do they need to change their diaper?
Yes, they do.
See,
new drop alert.
See, they were in it already.
That was interesting.
That is joke around, irreverent poopy. Brad and Babe shtick during a crap game.
Yeah. Poopy field position.
That's down 13-0, and we're just here to make jokes.
Where's
now.
The diaper?
Now we get to the portion of the program where Brad is clamoring for sponsorship deals.
Oh, I love that.
I just want to say, having nothing to do with anything, but if any members of the Cowboys crack sales team is listening, I'm requesting a sponsorship for Smucker's Uncrustables.
Yeah.
I'm spreading the word on the goodness of that snack.
You like it?
I like the Smucker's Uncrustables.
Or as Kirk Cousins would say, you like that.
Yeah. You like that.
Yeah, I don't know how many he had with him yesterday, but he had two in a bag.
He's a Smucksman, man.
Gave them to Brian and I at halftime. Sent us a picture, said, I'm bringing you guys these.
It's the first time I hadn't had sushi, and I can't remember how long.
Brian crushed this strawberry Uncrustable in about 10 seconds.
It was good. Strawberry, huh?
It was good.
I had the grape.
It was very good.
It's very good. And Brad was thrilled that he was correct on the amount of calories in that Uncrustable. He let Brian know about that. 210, Brian. 210. I thought they were about to fight each other.
With the calories.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get one from the Cowboys because the player Crustables are bigger.
Right.
I tried to get Craig Lieber, who's an operations guy who was spotting last night in the game. I tried to get Gleebs to tell Brad that the player Crustables are bigger.
I think you're ballsacking us with this.
No. I'm gonna get it because I go over the Star.
I've seen them.
I've gotten
a glimpse of those Warlocks.
Yeah,
bigger Uncrustables.
They're bigger ones. Like they're
when you see
them? Super size level.
They're like hamburger buns.
Can you get them at the store?
No, dude.
You can't get
these
those.
These are NFL issues.
That's right.
Yeah.
They have NFL issue Uncrustables.
Yeah, like two of them.
Yeah,
in
bring
one.
Them in.
Yeah,
bring them in.
I'm gonna get a couple of them.
Let's go because those things are damn good. And yeah, Brad was so into this sponsorship deal, he brought it up again in the post game.
Oh, did he really?
He's trying really.
He wants Smuckers. He wants Smuckers.
He
to be
wants
involved.
Smuckers bad.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to Jordan Love. Now, this is not a good highlight, but it's a good call. Brad, take it away.
Okay, big play, 3rd and 10, and it is Wilson, the running back, at the 15. Snap to Love on 3rd down. Ezeraku pushing the pocket into the end zone. Great throw and catch. Touchdown, Romeo Doubs. His 3rd of the day, he got inside Elam, and the Packers have regained the lead.
Man, that's a lot of Packers fans.
Yeah, there were.
It was,
there
yeah.
was a lot.
It was
jarring. The go Pack go chants were loud.
It was, when they were walking in, I was like going, gosh, this is not. And they arrived early, too.
Oh, they did?
They got there really early. Like, the buses were dropping them off there at the game. But, man, it reminded me very much of the crowds they've had before, where like the visitors, the San Franciscos, mm-hmm. Houston's,
Pittsburgh.
People like that. Yeah.
All right. Well, Dak was not going to be outdone. Welcome to town. Wide receiver 1, George Pickens.
And they're at the 28, and they need a touchdown. Snap to Prescott, back and standing, and fires it left, and it's caught. Pickens circles away. 10, 5, Pickens, pylon, Pickens. Touchdown!
That's beautiful.
What a just a
very Merle Reese like
crazy.
There, huh?
Oh, yeah. He did not sound like his tongue was swollen. Right?
No. The Merle Reese will give you the touchdown.
He will.
Yeah, he will give you that one.
He'll
the excitement.
Down on
we
the
were
TV.
Living the dream. It was absolutely fantastic. And then the play of the game for us, the Jalen Tolbert catch, where it looked like maybe Dak's just throwing this thing away, but Jalen Tolbert working back to the football. Oh my gosh, did he? Yes, he did.
Prescott in the gun at the 39, 2nd and 7. Snap is back. Good block from the right tackle. Rolling right, Prescott throws on the run to the right side. Oh, did that ball caught? Oh, please tell me he caught that. Tolbert, did he catch it?
That's a catch.
He did his best Michael Gallup down at the 5-yard line. And I don't know how Prescott got it there or how Tolbert caught the ball for 34.
That was a voice crack worthy call there from Sham.
Yeah. It was.
I think we all had a voice crack situation.
And
then you go back
and
you look back at the replay, it was like, how close was that left foot to hitting the boundary?
Unbelievable.
Very impressive.
Please have the awareness. That.
Absolutely. Nice work, Tolbert. Nice work, Dak.
Yeah, man. Amazing.
Incredible.
Top 5 throw of his career, probably. Do you guys, when you guys have to go down to the Miller Lite Club, do you stay and watch it on those little TVs, or did you go out on the field?
No, we stay on the little. Well,
we have to. I sit down now and listen to Brad and Babe call the game. So I sat down on the couch and just put the headset on and listen.
That's the worst part of it.
It's
it's the most anxious walk in all of sports media is from the Cowboys presser to the elevator. You hear the crowd roaring. Then you get to the bottom and you still got like a 200-yard walk to the Miller Lite Club where you can see through the tunnels and the game is ending. The most critical moments that you're about to go on and talk about for 3 hours are all unfolding. The most important 12 plays. There's got to be a better way.
I'm like, what the hell are we doing?
I'd take a fireman's pole like straight down. You know, just
give us something like that. I like
that special Jerry elevator that goes straight down to the field.
Nowadays,
you have to, like, they check your credential everywhere you go. Like, you literally have to stand in front of these little things.
We're getting face
screened. I remember we were at the Super Bowl with your picture on them and stuff. That's what they do.
I think a nice little water slide, you know, obviously without the water, straight from the press box to the Miller Lite Club. That'd have been clutch, Jerry.
I'm here for that. All right, we close it down with the post game where we had Tolo Keith.
Yeah, our buddy Keith.
And Brad Sham was with you guys taking calls.
Brad was, he wasn't a call in. Keith was there at the Miller Lite Field Club.
Oh, hammered.
Obliterated. Okay. And we love you, Keith, if you're listening. But he just loved him some Brad Sham.
What you've got to do is just the best you can until Revel is healthy and Butler is healthy. And Overshown is healthy.
That's weed.
We're used to this.
Yeah. The voice of God talking here.
Thanks. But right now, that's who he's got.
Yeah.
That might have done it.
Yep.
Hey, excuse me. We see the people with the microphones. We're the ones talking. So thank you for being here. We appreciate it. But we kind of need to do the talking. Okay.
Oh, put him in his place.
Poor Keith.
I guess that's how you want me to handle the people in the pregame show. Is that how you want me to handle it? You want me to channel my inner Brad Sham?
I'll say this though. No, keep doing what you're doing. It's fine. The thing was, he was literally like, it was like Brad was sitting in a chair and he was reading a book, like he was telling a story. He was kneeled down right by his feet. Like he was no more than like Brad
invading the personal space.
Brad couldn't recross his feet.
He could taste, like he wanted a taste of that Uncrustable.
He was like literally he was telling him a story, you know, it was pretty funny.
Well, there it is. Two guys, one booth. Thank you, sir. Yes, and for those in the audience, if you come up to our broadcast position and start talking to us, the microphone is not going to pick up what you say, and we can't hear what you're saying because we have headphones on. So I think it happens to a lot of people. But
it's not the chief.
It's always hilarious for those in the audience.
When you take it off, you know.
He doesn't. He just yells right into it, you know, while we're going.
No, I do. I remove the headset. What I need to do is turn my mic off. Okay, and what we need to do is get to a sports hodgepodge here to close out the evening, Eric. What's in store?
Yeah, week 4 NFL takeaways next year in the nation.
Love you, man. You're the guy. You're my guy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Where's Broadus? I found something on Google here at the break. Okay, so the Uncrustable, a few players have been quoted as saying they get extra large Uncrustables they claim are 600 calories each. There is no official statement from Smuckers, but that 600 calorie claim seems anecdotal from Google. Smucker states that some sizes sold in club stores or for schools may be larger, hence having more calories.
How about it, man?
Okay, so there is the possibility. Up until I Googled it, I thought there's no way an HE double hockey sticks. Like, this must be the worst bit in radio that Broadus is propagating on us. But I Googled it, and there are some players who are saying it's 600, not 800. But I think there's a pretty good chance that Broadus is going to produce this special league Uncrustable that has significantly more calories, and I think that'd be the upset of the year.
Because I didn't think there was a chance in HE double hockey sticks, Brian, that this was actually the case. But, I mean, you've held this line for a couple of years now.
I have.
I just thought you were dug in.
No. I could be very stubborn, as you well know. Yes. You've worked with me for 5 years, so you know what a horse's ass I could be.
Sure.
But, I mean, I
not the case here, though.
No. I've seen these packs, and I remember.
It must be a monster uncrustable. I'm kind of ticked off they're not making them available for us.
It's the size of, like, a hamburger bun.
Okay,
and with all the players, so it's like
triple what the other ones are.
I got to make sure it's there. I got to get this. I mean, if I can't find it in Dallas, I got to call around the gang of seven, and they have some. Yeah.
Okay. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. I got something for you too, as well, Woolchuck.
Yeah.
I think you need to look up TJ Bass's relative athletic score
and compare that to
let's look at the Bass ass.
To Tyler Booker. Here's Chief with a sports
hodgepodge.
Oh, I did.
TJ Sussman's on it. Could you just raise my tackle here on the skill one?
Yeah, good tackle.
He's unbelievable, Lucius. They're just stepping on your gosh dang production.
Oh, sorry. What did we do?
TJ Hushmanzado, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening?
Well, it is the home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly.
We
no one's
thousands.
Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket Sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that, rude mother.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Little shock jack stuff.
All right, you shock jocks, go ahead and have it out about the Bassman.
That's just one of the dumbest takes in radio, that Bass would be better than Booker.
Wow.
You're just making bleep up over there. You don't believe a word of that. You don't believe it. I know you don't.
Let's go ahead and back away, Broadus.
I mean, speaking of making bleep up, I never said Bass is better than Booker.
What are you trying to say?
I said the fall off from Booker and BB isn't that much compared to Hoffman and Bass.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, is that more good for the backups or more like, man, maybe these guys aren't that good amongst their starters?
No, I think it's good for the backups. I think the starters are going to be very good players.
Yeah, I mean, backup offensive linemen are known for their ability to get the job done league-wide. And there's definitely not an offensive lineman shortage. Haven't heard about that.
Cowboys finally found some good ones.
I think what we've seen with Booker and BB and Dak and a lot of the players on offense is an incredible scheme that's giving them an advantage.
So you don't think BB and Booker are good?
No, I don't. I think they're probably above average. I think Booker has a chance to be really good, but I think he's got to figure out a way to mitigate his lack of ability to hit moving targets. And whether that's in the pass game or the run game, I think that's a significant issue that experience won't make better. I think if BB was going to be a good NFL center, we'd have seen more signs by now.
We didn't see any signs the first 2 weeks.
I mean, there's plays. There's plays. You're an offensive lineman. You get 60 to 70 tries per game. There's going to be a couple that look decent on tape. But it's like, what do you do over the course of all of the snaps?
Yeah. Played pretty well.
He played all right.
He was pretty good.
Yeah. We'll see.
That was a little bit more tame than I was hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
Same to you, Broadus.
I was a little disappointed.
Just a couple adults talking sports, and I wanted it to come to blows.
Yeah, they kind of figured out, though, they've only got about 25 minutes left in the show, and they didn't want to get on the elevator and have that tension.
I don't care. Yeah. We've had plenty of times and
elevator tension
afterwards. Elevator tension is my favorite kind of tension.
E.T. phone home, baby. Yeah.
Gosh, listening to you talk football makes me want to rip my brain out of my bleeping skull.
There we go. Now he's back.
Here we go.
Wait, are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, ding, ding. I thought that was directed at Dawson.
Looking straight at you, Noah.
All right, Woolchuck's clearly getting delusional, so we're going to move on.
Hey, Eric, can I ask you, as a Dolphins fan, what do you think about our Miami Vice uniform?
I wanted to ask you, fellas. You know, I actually think I would say, generally speaking, almost batting 1,000 is all black uniforms. Just in general, if you tell me a team's wearing all black uniforms, and maybe that's part of their deal, like the Ravens, all time incredible. Maybe it's more of an alternate random situation like the Dolphins tonight. By and large, I'm here for it.
I like them.
My biggest gripe with the Dolphins is just simply that they punted on one of the greatest retro logos of all time for what is the most feminine, weak, impossible to win a Super Bowl logo that they have now.
You don't like that Dolphin?
No, it actually looks a little better with this new the new color scheme that they're doing with this alternate.
This dolphin looks generally too sleek. Here, the other dolphin was kind of tough looking.
Yeah, yeah, the football dolphin helmet on. Yeah. And
it kind of looks phallic now.
Yeah.
It does. Thank you. Thank you. I've been thinking it. You said it. Like, that could go really well on one of those women's products.
Is Mike McDaniel with us?
By the way, they have a Target these days, which is kind of unsettling.
He might be still.
Mike McDaniel.
You think he's with us right now?
Is absolutely.
He's living.
He's at altitude. He thinks he's in Denver right now.
The only problem I see with these uniforms is they look a little too close to the Jags. I think you should have gone with the orange numbers. The bluish teal green thing. Like, when I looked up there, more orange would have been good. I like them overall.
Yeah, overall. I think they're cool.
I don't think the logo pops in the helmet either. Like, they got bad contrast going on there. It just kind of blurs together.
Just a weird.
It's got the weak dolphin on there.
Yeah, it does. It's got the
dolphin that got left behind.
It's got the phallic, weak, loser dolphin.
The phallic fin.
I don't understand. I really don't.
Oh, Pelota.
Wow. Okay, so we are scouting out the Jets right now. Cowboys' next opponent, Justin Fields, has done some running. The Jets in general have done some running, and right at the one-inch yard line after just running down their throat for 85 yards, he fumbles at the inch line, and it's Dolphins football. And
they can
act like they're a good team now for about 5 seconds. All right, do you guys want to hear John Gruden's Nicey Players of the Week?
Not really.
It's actually not even Nicey Players. Nicey teams. Adversity. That's the buzzword this week.
Did the Cowboys make it?
You hear John complain about all the injuries? He was like complaining. He went on a rant because they don't practice and have training camp and all that stuff.
He's a football guy. Yeah.
It's fair.
I trust him. Here he is.
I love when teams show mental toughness. They respond to adversity. They respond to miserable, uncomfortable situations. Teams like the 1-2 Chicago Bears. They're missing both starting offensive tackles, 4 key members of their defense, but Caleb Williams takes them on a game-winning drive. And they block a field goal at the buzzer. Ben Johnson's Bears will bite you. Teams like the New England Patriots. They're 1-2. They're down 7-0, but they reel off 42 unanswered points. It looked like a vintage Patriot performance. Stephon Diggs, Drake May, Robert Spillane. Who is Jack Gibbons?
Who seems like the Jack Gibbons?
Who expected this? A convincing win in San Francisco? A balanced offense. No sacks. No turnovers. A high-energy defense. Liam Cohen. New ball, baby. Teams like the 1-2 Atlanta Falcons, they're coming off a 30-0 loss to the Carolina Panthers. But they put up 435 yards yesterday. Over 300 from Mike Pennant. 34 points. Do the dirty bird, baby. Teams like the 0-3 New York Giants, they're playing the undefeated LA Chargers with a rookie quarterback, a rookie feature back. And they go out there and they get 36 minutes of clock. Big play defense. Big Blue will sting you.
Big Blue will sting you. Who is Jay Gibbons? I think is the line of the week
that
there.
That was great.
For John Gruden's Nicey. Now, we also, speaking of those Giants and what they did, with no Rashawn Slater on that Chargers offensive line, coupled with the Joe Alt ankle injury.
That's a toughie.
Their offensive line got completely torched by the Giants front. You had Justin Herbert under pressure at just a truly ridiculous and disgusting rate. And it was like Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
He looked like the Abdul Carter that was scouted out at Penn State. That was impressive stuff.
They're going to get some coaches in there that kind of know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a tough team again.
Yeah, yeah, that isn't it the season finale for the Cowboys?
It is.
The Giants?
Yeah.
Might be a big game, dude.
Might be for draft position.
It could be a big one.
Could be a big one either for draft position or for a potential in-the-hunt graphic opportunity for the Cowboys.
I think if the Cowboys are in the hunt, I think it's Christmas Day. That will be the game against the Commanders to determine whether they're in the playoffs or not.
You want to know the most shocking thing from the Eagles game?
Hell no.
It wasn't that Jalen Hurts didn't complete a single yard.
0-for-8, right?
Yeah, 0-for-8 in the second half. Yeah. Just totally, totally bad in every way. The Eagles still find a way to win, which is annoying. But they win a game in which they didn't attempt a single tush push.
Oh, they faked one.
I'm like,
and then they went to Goddard. Fake one. Barkley went around the side untouched.
Yeah. And now they're starting to sort of build off it a little bit, I guess.
I was wondering when that would happen.
Only a matter of time.
Off the tush push, and maybe we're out of it.
Yeah. I don't think we're out of it. We did see the formation, but we did not actually see a tush push. And I would have to imagine that's the first time in like 2 or 3 years.
And I don't think the timing is coincidental. Like, I think the NFL let them know, guys, it's over. We're going to start calling the false starts. And they said, well, forget this. If we can't false start, it's time to try something else.
No doubt. All right, there it is. There's your hodgepodge.
Well, thank you, Chief. And I've continued to track this. I got a picture of an Uncrustable right here. 5.3 ounces totaling 590 calories. Looks like they might be more gettable overseas than here, but I could order them up right now and prove it.
I'm gonna try and get us all one from the Cowboys. I think we can.
Unbelievable.
I think we got NFL ones that are twice as big and I think they're 800 calories. I think I looked at it one time. That's why
that must be the loaded one. Maybe that's the hazelnut chocolate spread in that one. If you guys had that one, the raspberry one hits as well.
They got the honey.
All good.
All sorts of great variations.
And I've stopped putting them in the toaster or the air fryer. I just put them in my pocket and go.
Mm. Yeah.
And then when you're hungry, break them out. It's like that perfect smashed PB&J where you can kind of see the jelly.
I appreciate Brad giving it to us.
Freaking absolutely love that.
We got a run. We're back to across with Fred and Blake. See what they got cooking. Then the Cowboys Hour coming up at 7 o'clock with Brad Sham. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. We have the Cowboys Hour coming up at 7 o'clock with Brad Sham and CJ Goodwin. And then you're going to get the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake. And they're standing by to give you a full report on their thoughts from the weekend and what's coming up on tonight's show. Gentlemen, how the heck are you?
Doing phenomenal. Got all my boys back here. I just feel grateful. Feel grateful to be in the presence of straight.
Shout out my boys.
Y'all are all phenoms in my eyes. Five phenoms, six phenoms, seven. Seven phenoms here today. It's just great to hear doing radio.
Seven phenoms.
How many cups?
What happened? How many cups?
Yeah, I'm just moving on.
Wow.
You know, we did the phenom stuff on Saturday, though. We had the three finalists.
How'd that go?
I thought pretty good. I mean, they were solid.
Anybody stand out? Who's your vote?
You know,
are we allowed to say
I don't,
that?
I don't want to say anything on air. I've said off air.
Who's your vote?
I'm not saying. You're not getting me.
Who are the top two?
I'm not saying that either. I will say all three of them, God bless them all, tried hard, did their thing.
Wow. Don't have a chance in hell. Had a successful radio.
No, I mean, it's you know what it did, though? Again, I think it goes back to...
This is what happened I was done.
We were like, this guy sucks. You know, do I get... but or whatever.
Uh-huh.
He just...
Do you resent?
Waltzed in. Do I resent him? Absolutely not.
Him trying to little bro you all the time?
What we do, everybody thinks they can do it until that mic goes hot.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, and gets spicy.
The biggest difference is the phenom 5 minutes. You can detail. You can have your stats ready. Then you get on the radio, especially with me and Fred. You know, we tend to, jump around subjects, but that's a good test.
By the way, we actually did stick to the script because Gavin was like, look, I need you guys to
please
not bounce around.
Be professionals.
Yeah.
But you have a damn backbone, dude.
It's like you just get told what to do.
This is my show.
We've been trying to get Tim to come in for Tim time. He says no every time.
Tim time?
Tim time.
Never.
Just a little Tim Collins. Taylor. Has Tim ever talked on the radio?
Yeah, of course.
When?
He records spots.
Yeah, you can hear him.
Oh, yeah.
During commercial
breaks. In my first
breaks,
couple years, he filled in on middays a couple of times.
What? Oh,
yeah.
Can we pull the footage from that, please?
Then he was on with, wasn't he with Mickey Spagnola with Cowboys Crosstalk? He was the crowd mic guy that would go around and like get the questions from Tolo and stuff.
Wireless Tim.
Wireless Tim.
Yeah, that was fun. I think the backstory there was.
Mike just cut off.
Knew he was doing the middays, but he had had a lot of TV responsibilities. Okay. And so the Rangers were in the going to the World Series and everything. And a couple of days, like, knew he had travel right in the middle of his show. Oh, so, okay. You know, we were pulling in, you know, guys right and left to do the talk shows for him.
Hey, I'll say from Mavs Media Day today, a lot of buzz, a lot of energy, a lot of guys seemed excited. A lot of guys, we talked to Daniel Gafford. He gave us some interesting answers, kind of talking about what he thinks about this team will be this upcoming season. And Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg, also very mellow guy. Would you say that, Fred, you know, talking to him for 5-6 minutes today?
I mean, you know, hell, we probably could have talked to him for a few more.
Yeah.
Well, did you guys get a chance to size up Derek Lively? And
so that's funny that you said that.
Yeah, it is funny that you said that.
The moment he walked away, I looked at Fred. I go, man. I'm not that short to everyone. Like, I see them, I'm like, they're taller than me, obviously. But Derek
Blake
Lively
six.
Is a full, like, grown man looking down on you.
Super
like,
long.
I was, like, up to his nipple. That's when we dapped up, I was.
Was he
I
was, shirtless?
He wasn't shirtless. I just.
He's cutting glass?
I know where the nipple's at, so.
You know where Derek Lively's nipple's at?
I know where odd nipple's at.
Okay.
Like, standard.
Hey, like, just one?
The standard nipple placement. Standard everybody nipple knows that.
But.
Nipple analytics.
When
brought to you by Blake Elliott, baby.
Nippolytics.
Call that the Elliott Index. Tune in. It's a new segment we're trying
the
out.
The Elliott Index.
When I saw the tweet from Stein or somebody saying that he's 7'3", I didn't think it was
Fun. It was Coop.
It was very.
Coop started it.
Coop started it?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Coop's observation or maybe his report.
I definitely agree because when you saw him, he felt taller than usual. I mean, he's already a tall guy, but he felt taller than usual. What happened?
Darren Waller just
had a nice touchdown.
Had a really nice touchdown in his first game back.
And you made fun of me for drafting him.
What a draft.
Now, I might have dropped him 4 weeks ago. But.
15 plays, 96 yards, 840, the Dolphins?
Did you pick the Jets in this?
Man, Dak's going to carve these guys up next week.
I did.
So Derek Lively, 21 years old. I guess it's possible to grow a couple inches, but Coop's saying he's now 7'3".
I would buy it.
Wow. If he didn't lose any athleticism, that's Wemby level rim protection now, isn't it? Yeah, maybe even better.
Who was it that grew? Was it Jonathan Kuminga? Somebody else grew a bunch.
Wemby grew an inch, apparently. He's now 7'4".
Damn. Like a year or two ago.
There was a guy.
He's ball sacking us.
Oh, he was ball sacking us?
I don't
think
he actually did grow. It was a laughable amount of height.
I think it was Kuminga.
Were both you guys at the Cowboys game last night?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we were there. We were there late. I was there at 1 a.m. We were sending audio to everybody and whatnot. When I went back in the press box to get my computer and talk to Josh, there were still 15, 20 media members there at 1 in the morning. I mean, everybody putting in the work. And then we were at the AAC 9 hours later for Mavs Media Day. So
putting it in.
Shout out to Fred, you know, going through a little bit of sickness and still pulling up and helping us.
Fighting through adversity, man.
I mean, I wouldn't say I was sick. I just it wasn't 100%. Okay.
At this point in the season, nobody is, man. So we're all dragging.
Who would you say you are on the Cowboys injury wise after today? Are you like kind of Trayvon-ish? Tyler Guyton with a concussion?
No, don't ever. You're not Trayvon-ish.
Maybe Guyton with a concussion. You're in and out.
No. Fuzzy.
No, I mean I didn't stop playing. So
there you go.
Never left the field.
No, I didn't. I mean, I was there from the get. No, I did have some sunglasses on, so.
You looked hungover and drunk at the same time. I was like, how is he hungover and drunk right now?
Well,
I think
that's
the dehydration. Am I smelling Black and Milds?
Look, I got to stop. I've got to stop with the Black and Milds. They are eating away at my soul.
Do you do the thing where you put it out and you're like, okay, that's the last one for sure. Oh. I don't have any more. So and then 4 hours later, you're on your way
to
the gas station.
I'm also later.
So many times. I mean, I think the one I smoked on the way home from the game last night was the final straw.
A nice 1:30 a.m.
So you haven't had any since then?
No. I haven't been home. I mean, not that I couldn't go buy a single at a local gas station.
He's thinking about it right now.
You could just go across the street.
In fact,
you're kind of kicking yourself right now.
We do got the Cowboys hour coming up 7 to 8.
Just go have a walk and talk, Fred.
Plenty of time to knock a couple down. But
so who had the tallest nipples in the Cowboys locker room?
I didn't go in the Cowboys locker room. I have no idea. That was all Fred. I was in the Packers locker room, so I have no idea.
Oh.
I
don't
know. Okay, same question, but Packers.
Edrin Cooper, high nipples. Luke Van Ness seemed to be having higher.
He's high level. Tall.
Josh Jacobs, short guy. Short guy.
He's a
short
king. What about the nips?
See, the nips, he was shirtless, but I was a little bit above him, so I couldn't see the nips.
He was looking down.
Height-wise, avalanche. Gotcha. You know, I could only see the forehead.
So eyes up.
Eyes up.
Got to be respectful.
Yeah.
How was the Cowboys locker room last night? Everybody in a good mood?
You know what? No. It was a tale of two locker rooms. So the first, I stayed on the defensive side of the locker room at first, interviewing five different people. And it was, Kenneth Murray was still in his uniform like half an hour after the game.
Watching tape.
Just sitting there. It was like somebody had ran his dog over. And everybody just didn't know how to react. Then you go to the offensive side.
Music's playing.
Man. Rock, I was like, we put a 40 spot on these dudes.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Jalen Tolbert's happy.
Bro, I'm telling you right now.
Rare.
And that's why I asked the question I did to Dak yesterday when I said, look, man, you've got a locker room where half of it is.
Oh, that was your question?
It was my question.
Nice question,
half of it
bro.
Was down in the dumps.
Yeah.
Half of it was, you know, hyped. I said, so, you know, you're the $60 million man. What's your role in making sure this thing doesn't, you know, go off a cliff? And he said, you know, locker room talk and making sure these guys stay locked in.
So. Yeah, I like what he said. Like, if the defense gets bummed out, that's a selfish act.
Yes.
You know, you got to put the team first and be constructive about the process of figuring it out.
You like that answer? You like that question?
I love the question. Great love question, the answer. Dude. I thought it might have been a highlight of
See, look at this guy playing through injury, 100% of the snaps.
I felt great last night. It was this morning that I was like, ooh, this is going to be rough.
Trap your pants.
So if we.
Last night I did.
At home. You crapped your pants on the toilet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Wait.
That's what I meant. On the toilet.
Nobody should diarrhea from 3 to 4 in the morning.
Wow. No. Okay. And if we see Cowboys practice report DNP illness on Wednesday and Thursday, we'll know who to thank
won't.
For that.
I mean, look, I'm telling you right. I'm going to tell you right now. I'll tell you what I think it was. I think it was a combination of black and milds.
Don't blame any of the food.
Half a dozen Tums. A lot of indigestion and half a gallon of milk.
Last night.
That'll do it.
You know?
What about Alrighty. The pizza?
Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup Master Control 75 and Fitzhugh Woolchuck and Chia Follow. Of course, Carter Freeman coordinating your video. And for Brian Broaddus, I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation, Addies.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.